In other words, the Samaritan was willing to have his trip interrupted in order to offer aid to a needy, helpless man. Dear ones, that's the essence of ministry. Being willing to have your day, your schedule interrupted to help others in need. That's what ministry is. Ministry is, by its very nature, inconvenient to you and your personal things and schedules.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Well, hey there, my friend. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you once again to Your Place of Grace. Today, we're going to do a little bit different take on the story of the Good Samaritan. And we're looking at Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. One of the most familiar and well-loved stories in all the Bible is that of the Good Samaritan. However, we really must ask ourselves whether we leave it in the past, thinking of it merely as a good story, or do we look at it from a modern-day perspective? Think about it. We certainly live in days when the spirit of the Good Samaritan is much, much needed. And the place it should be displayed is in the lives of Christians like you and me. Amen? So before we examine the story of the Good Samaritan, we need to understand the context. A lawyer, who was an expert in the law of Moses, asked Jesus a question to test him, saying, "Oh, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" So in reply, the lawyer said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus affirmed that he had answered correctly and said, "Do this, and you will live." But the lawyer wanted to justify himself by bringing into question just who exactly qualified as a neighbor. In this passage, Jesus is not discussing how to be saved, but is helping the lawyer see a problem in his own heart. He thought that being good and doing good things and keeping the law was the most essential issue, but using a simple story, Jesus shows him, no, it's a matter of your heart. Beginning at verse 30, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead." See, the road from Jerusalem to Jericho was 17 miles of rugged and very, very dangerous territory. The altitude decreased 3,000 feet, and there were many caves and rocky places for thieves to hide. And travelers were continually in danger, which explains why this Jewish man was attacked. On the same day, two other men were also going down this road. The first one was a priest who served in the temple, offering sacrifices to the Lord. When he saw the man lying in the road, half naked and beaten almost to death, What did this holy priest do? Well, he passed on the other side. The next man to come by was a Levite, whose responsibility it was to take care of the temple. He too saw the dying man, but passed by on the other side. Although they were both religious men, they did not stop to help. Since the man on the road was described as being half dead, they may have thought he'd already died and didn't want to defile themselves by touching a dead body. So they just kind of looked and went around him and kept on going. But the next person to come down the road was a Samaritan who was on a journey. Now, the Jews and Samaritans wanted nothing to do with each other. But yet when he saw the injured Jewish man, Jesus said he felt compassion. He bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. This was amazing kindness. Yet the Samaritan man did even more. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Here, take care of him. And whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you." So at the end of the story, Jesus asked the lawyer which of those 3 men proved to be a neighbor to the man who had been robbed. And the lawyer had to admit that it was the Samaritan, because he'd shown mercy. Jesus' command to the lawyer is one we should take to heart today. Jesus said, "Go and do the same." Listen to me, dear ones. Our nation, and I live in the United States, our nation here in America has no shortage of needy people. But are we, as God's people, willing to help? Are we? The Christian life is not something we merely do on Sundays by going to church and toting our Bible. No, our Christianity must be on display in our daily lives. Daily. Daily. Therefore, we must ask ourselves if we are merciful and compassionate to those in need. As we study the characteristics of this Good Samaritan, let's ask ourselves if these following qualities are true of us as well. The Good Samaritan opened his eyes. Although all 3 men physically saw the critically wounded man, only the Samaritan, the hated Samaritan, looked and stopped to help. Before we can meet needs, we must be aware of them. The Good Samaritan opened his heart. The difference between the priest and the Levite's gaze and the Samaritan's was compassion. The Samaritan saw the helplessness and suffering of the dying man, and his heart went out to him. Even though he knew that pausing on this dangerous road could result in being attacked and robbed himself, his compassion overruled his caution or any fear. Instead of being preoccupied with his own safety, this Good Samaritan focused on the suffering of another man. The Good Samaritan also opened his hands. The Samaritan didn't just feel sorry for this poor man. He relieved his suffering by pouring oil and wine on his wounds and bandaging them. But if he had merely treated the wounds and left him on the road, it wouldn't have been much help. No, the Samaritan didn't leave him behind. but he lifted him onto his own donkey, brought him to the nearest inn, and took care of him. The Samaritan also opened his purse. He opened his wallet. Since the Samaritan was on a journey, he needed to continue traveling, even though the injured man needed time to recover. Instead of simply dropping him off and leaving, the Samaritan paid the innkeeper to look after the man. Then he promised to return and repay him for whatever more he had to spend for this man's care. Praise God. And finally, this good Samaritan opened his schedule. In other words, the Samaritan was willing to have his trip interrupted in order to offer aid to a needy, helpless man. Dear ones, that's the essence of ministry. Being willing to have your day, your schedule interrupted to help others in need. That's what ministry is. Ministry is, by its very nature, inconvenient to you and your personal things and schedules. The Samaritan put his journey on hold for a while in order to do that which was more important, and that was to show compassion and care to someone else in need. What we see in the Good Samaritan is a genuine, Christ-like attitude. And today, my friend, we don't lack opportunities to be good Samaritans. But we must first see the needs, feel compassion, and be willing to be inconvenienced in order to give of our time and money to help. As we allow the love of Jesus to flow through our hearts, we will understand more and more of what it means to love our neighbor. Praise God. Father, I thank you today for my friend who's listening here as I'm teaching this little podcast on the Good Samaritan. Father, help us, please, to be more like Jesus. Fill us with your Holy Spirit today. Fill us to overflowing and let us realize and experience the depths of your great love for humankind, for those who are suffering, struggling, those who are hurt, brokenhearted, those who are sick, those who are heavy laden, carrying heavy loads on their backs and on their shoulders. Help us, Lord, to be more like the Good Samaritan, and help us especially to be more like Jesus. Help us to see others through the eyes of Jesus and your great love. Help us, Father God, and give us this genuine Christ-like attitude. Help us to have open eyes, open hearts. Yes, open wallets. Help us, Lord, to give unto others of our love, compassion, resources. Lord, be glorified in and through our life today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, my dear friend, for listening. Thank you so much. Hey, please go to our website or go to Amazon.com for that matter for our books, our resources. We have really good. We have 12 really good books, and they're quick reads. They're pocket books. They're not big, thick things, but they will be a blessing to you. So go to Amazon.com. We have 12 books, as I said, in paperback and in ebook formats. You can also find our books and sermons and teachings at our website, yourplaceofgrace.com. Pastors, I want to ask you to please prayerfully consider inviting me to come and to preach and teach in your church, wherever you may be. God has moved powerfully in our services all across the United States of America. Not bragging on me, I'm bragging on my Jesus. Lots of people have been saved in our services and revivals. Lots of people have been healed in spirit, soul, and body. Others have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Others have been delivered from bondages such as drug abuse, pornography. God is moving powerfully. The Holy Spirit is moving in our midst as we minister. And so, Pastor, please look at our website, yourplaceofgrace.com. Go to the testimonials page. Go to our messages and sermons. And again, yes, the testimonials page has stories from other pastors throughout the U.S. talking about what our ministry has meant to their church. So please do pray about this, you guys and gals. I would love to come and minister to your church, your community, and to you. I want to be a friend to you and a prayer partner, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you so much. Listen, until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may he always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may God give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory, laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, and home. And may God grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long, long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.